His presence is here to bridge the gap between heaven and earth. There may be somebody here today, you may be listening online, and you may say, but I feel so far away from that God. I'm telling you that it is the will of God to begin to bridge the gap today between heaven and earth, so that a broken creation can begin to be restored because of the power of the blood of Jesus and because of the presence of God. You may say, I feel broken today. I'm here to tell you that the presence of God can be poured into your life and all of the broken places can be filled up again. I'm telling you, that's the plan of God for your life today. That's what God desires to do in this place today. Come on for a moment. Why don't you lift your hands to Him and just love Him and entertain His presence. Somebody entertain that God right now. Come on, open up your spirit to Him right now and say, God, I trust You. God, I believe You. Come on, let the Holy Ghost just spring up right now. Come on, let deep cry unto deep at the noise of His waterspouts. Come on, if you have the Holy Ghost, why don't you let that wellspring of living water begin to spring up into everlasting life today. Praise God. One more time, why don't you give Him a hand clap of praise in the house if you're thankful for what you feel in His presence. Praise God. It is so good once again to come together with the people of God and to connect around the things of God in worship and in prayer and in praise. And we want to continue to pray for the church in Kiev and all across Ukraine during this time of war and bloodshed, that God would cover them. Praise God. I believe in a God that can cover in the middle of battle. Praise God. That's what David said. He said, you've covered me in the day of battle. Praise God. We're going to be in Psalms chapter 8 today. If you are a guest in the house, we are so glad that you're with us today. Why don't we make our guests feel welcome, those who are in the house and listening online. Praise God. We're so glad that you're here with us. And when you come, make yourself at home. We want you to feel welcome here. I know this environment is a little different, and we are not trying to be like every other church in town. We come into the house of God the way that the Word of God tells us to. Praise God. The Bible says, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout to God with a voice of triumph. Praise God. It tells us, the Word tells us to praise God with the loud-sounding cymbals and the high-sounding cymbals. It tells us to praise Him on the psaltery and the harp. It says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So we came today to make some noise in His presence. But while you're here, just join with us and sing and shout and dance and take your liberty in the presence of God. Praise God. Psalms chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all of the earth. Anybody know the name? What's the name? Come on, somebody say it like you believe it. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. Praise God. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained strength, or the phrase could be interpreted, perfected praise, because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Something happens when we begin to praise God. I know we come in and we're making noise and we're being clamorously foolish in the presence of God. It's because of what we know. When we begin to praise God, something happens in the camp of the adversary. Now, I don't know about you today, but I have some things I need God to do in my life. How many of you have an enemy? How many of you have an adversary? But how many of you have a God who's bigger than your enemy and bigger than your adversary and bigger than your trouble? That's why we praise Him. It's not because we don't have problems, but it's because we know that our God is bigger than our problems. He says that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. It's the seed of Genesis 3 and 15 and Psalms 149. It's the promise made to Abraham that in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He said in verse 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man? Or you could say Adam or humanity, that thou art mindful of him and the Son of Man. Anybody know who the Son of Man is? It's Christ Jesus. And the Son of Man that you visit with him, or that you overshadow him, or that you indwell him. For thou hast made him, humanity, a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and with honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of your hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, because of this, how excellent is thy name in all of the earth. I want to preach today for just a few moments on the works of his fingers. Somebody put your Bible down and lift up a shout to heaven if you believe that God has put everything under your feet. Somebody praise him. Come on, he's put all principality, all power, all authority under your feet. God, we praise you. We magnify you. We glorify your name. We pray that in the next few moments you would anoint this house, every life, every home, every family, God. Break every chain. Loose every binding thing. Heal every disease, and we'll praise you for it and magnify you. Come on, one more time. Why don't you clap your hands, all ye people, and shout to God. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of God. This is an interesting passage of Scripture. If you look at it, there is what we call dynamic symmetry. There is greater and lesser. And a lot of times if you look at the Scripture in a deep way, you realize that the writer is, God is giving him revelation, or he's giving him understanding, so that he can synthesize what is happening in the invisible spiritual world and what is happening in the physical world. How many of you understand that everything happening in your life today is a result of some invisible dynamic? There are some people who would say, well, you're crazy for believing that. But we understand that when God created the world, he created the heaven and the earth. And because of that, he created those dimensions of existence. And as a result, we are constantly being, our lives are being affected by invisible or spiritual dynamics. So the writer of this text is looking up at heaven, and he's looking down at the earth at the same time. It's back and forth. When I consider the heavens, I'm looking up at the celestial bodies. I'm looking up at the world above. I'm looking at something that is beyond me or above me. When I consider the heavens, and then he says, the works of your fingers. It's back and forth. It's above and beneath. It's heaven and earth. It's celestial and human. It speaks to the relationship between the two dimensions of existence. But it is important today to understand something when you're reading this passage of Scripture. God did not use his fingers to create the universe. God did not use his hands. As a matter of fact, everything in the physical world was created by the Word of God. Everything that exists in the physical world came forth out of the Word of God. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So God created these two dimensions that would house all actualization in the physical and in the spirit world. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What you feel today, if you've never felt anything quite like this, if you're new to this kind of atmosphere, when the praise and worship team started singing and we started praying and praising together, you start to feel something. It's similar to what you might feel in a sports stadium or in a concert, but this is not just human emotion. What we feel here today is the presence of Almighty God hovering over this place. When we begin to magnify him, when the Bible said where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I will be in the midst of them. And when we begin to sing praises to God, when we begin to declare the name of Jesus, something starts to move in the house. How many of you are thankful for the presence of God that we feel already in this place? Something begins to move on creation. And God said, and after the Spirit of God moved, God begins to speak. This is where it all begins to take shape, to manifest form out of formlessness. Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, you're going to see it every day of creation and every point in creation. The word of God is going to go forth. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. And then verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. So God pulls the land up out of the water. He's speaking to the water, and he's calling the land forth out of the water. And God said in verse 11, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed. And so what God is doing now is every environment that is going to produce actualization, he is calling forth by his word that life that is latent in that environment. And so the land is going to be the place where grass will spring forth, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind. And we believe that this is where all of this got started. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. So all of the celestial bodies came forth from the word of God. I sat out under the stars last night and prayed and talked to God and looked up at the heavens. That's what the writer is saying in this passage of scripture that we read in Psalms chapter 8. When I consider the heavens, all of that came forth from the word of God. Praise God. Verse 20, and God said again, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales. He's calling forth the animal, the animals and everything that swims in the ocean out of the water. He's calling it forth, and God blesses them and says, be fruitful and multiply. And then in verse 24, God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after its kind. And so the earth is bringing forth by the word of God, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after its kind. And it was so. Praise God. Everything reproduces after its kind, and nothing emerges in any other way. There is no macro evolutionary process that causes things to be. Everything that is today is coming forth as it came forth at the very beginning by the power of the word of God. And then verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Now, this passage in Genesis chapter 1 gives us the overview of the story. The first day, 5 days of creation, God spoke and the worlds were formed. The sun, the moon, the stars, the trees, the plants, all of the animals. He spoke and they came into being. But on the sixth day, something different happens in the creative process. Just as with every other part of God's creation, he speaks the word to create mankind. God, he sets forth by his word what will emerge. He begins to speak, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. This is the majestic plural. God is speaking for the kingdom. He's speaking for the whole. And so he says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And then the Bible says, and so in the image of God, creation. created he man. So how many images of God are there? And what is the name of the image of God? Exactly. And so God calls forth the potential for humanity to emerge out of the earth. But this is the thing. In Genesis chapter 1, we read the overview of the story. God is speaking, literally, he's speaking to the dirt because he's going to bend down and he's going to form man out of the dust of the earth. And so man has a nature that is of the flesh. It has a nature that is of the dirt. All the stuff you're dealing with today that you don't like about yourself, that's your dirt nature. All of the problems that you brought into the house of God, that's your dirt nature. All of your existential squabbles and your conflicts and all of your strife and your chaos, that's your dirt nature. You have a nature that comes from the dirt, but you have another nature living down on the inside of you that doesn't come from the dirt. It comes from another place altogether. And that nature is the part of you that drew you into the house of God today. It's the part of you that when you came into the presence of God, yes, you felt a conflict today because your dirt nature doesn't want to praise God, but there's something else living on the inside of you that is longing to be clothed with righteousness. There's something else on the inside of you that when they started playing the music today, you felt your foot start to tap. Come on, you may have been afraid of what you felt, but you felt something down on the inside of you drawn toward the presence of God that you feel in this house. I've come to preach to somebody today. That's the part of your nature that God wants to do business with today. You got to put your dirt nature, your carnal nature on the side for just a few moments and open yourself up to the presence of God and say, God, I want a relationship with you. God, I want to do business with you. God, I want you to hover over my life and brood over my life and create something down on the inside of me that can change everything about me. I'm telling you that in the presence of God like this today, God can begin to reverse the effects of years of dysfunction in a place called spirit and truth. God can begin to rewrite your story in a place just like this. God can begin to fill in the broken places. God can begin to fill in the fractured places. I'm telling you, God can pour the oil and the water in today, and you can be a new creation. Is there a testimony in this place? Anybody say, I was like that. I was broken. My life was broken, but God poured the oil and the water in. Come on, somebody praise him. Somebody praise him for the work. God, we magnify you. We exalt your name, Jesus. I wouldn't be standing in front of you today preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ if it wasn't for the grace of God. Praise God. I'm just telling you, I'm no good all by myself, but I thank God for the Holy Ghost that quickens me every day. I'm thankful for the grace of God that's working in my life and expanding me and causing me to grow in the kingdom of God. Look at somebody next to you and tell them we're different. Yeah. You're different. You're not like the rest of creation. You see, the word of God speaks, but man doesn't just pop up. Everything else in the story emerges because the word idealizes it. You see, the fish didn't have a choice. The whale didn't have a choice. The trees didn't have a choice. But when God got ready to make man, you see, man is the epicenter of God's plan. Man is the epicenter of the purpose of God. And when God started to make humanity, the word idealized what he could be. But then God said, oh no, to make what I'm about to make, I'm not going to be able to stand up disconnected from it. But I'm going to have to get down on my hands and knees and play in the dirt. God said, when I make you, I'm going to have to find a
a material that is flexible and elastic. When God got ready to make you, he wasn't just some disconnected creator from his creation, but he said, no, this is going to be my heartbeat. This is going to be my prize creation. I'm just here to tell you today that you are not an accident, that you're not here just because your mama didn't abort you, but when God got ready to make man, he said, I'm telling you what it can be by the word, but I'm about to get down and play in the dirt. Praise God. Mankind is going to be different. There are components of man's construction that differentiate him from everything else in the universe. We don't get the nuts and bolts of it in Genesis chapter 1. Man was the only part of the physical world that did not emerge from the Word alone. And you might ask the question, why? And this is the question I was asking last night at 10 o'clock as I was sitting out under the stars. Because man was made in the image of God and after his likeness. And the Word of God, the Word emanates or it flows forth out of God. The Word flows from him. So because man was made in God's image, he will be the repository of the Spirit of God, and he will have creative power. Monkeys don't have creative power in the same way that humanity does. And fish don't have creative power in the same way that man does. Man's creative power was not just to be affected by other forms of life upon the planet, nor just affected by the underpinnings of the word that framed his existence. Stay with me because we're going somewhere. And I know right here there are people who are hitting pause on the tape player, on the CD. But stay with me for a second. Man would not be like every other part of the created world in that he would just be the one being affected, like the fish are being affected, and like the whales, and like monkeys, and like trees are being affected. But man would be a causal force upon every other aspect on the planet. Man would have a say in government. Man was going to have a say in politics. Man was going to have a say in creating an environment of his own. He was going to have a say in creating a family of his own. He was going to have a say in what the animals would be called. He was going to have a say in the way that things would take shape in the physical world. You see, the animal kingdom doesn't have a say like you have a say. The animal kingdom doesn't have a voice. This is why evolution is such a broken idea. The idea that somehow something made in the image of God would come forth out of a lesser part of the creation. He said, when I consider the heavens, that is above, the works of your fingers, that is below, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. What is man? He said, when I'm looking at the created world, I'm looking up, I'm looking down, I'm looking up and down, I'm looking up and down. I start asking the question, what is man? Who am I? Who are you? Let me tell you who you are. You are somebody that God put his hands on. You are somebody that God pushed his finger in the indentations in your eye. You are somebody that God opened up your nostrils. You say, well, I don't like the way I look. Baby, you are made in the image of God. You are beautiful and you are divine in your creation. There's something in you that nothing else in the world can say. There's something in you that nobody else in the world can be. God touched you. His word was there to speak about what could be, but he got down on his hands and knees and he began to shape and form humanity. It is so difficult in our broken world to see ourselves this way. It's so easy to see ourselves the way that the circumstance that we come out of tells us. The life, the experience, the family of origin, the insecurities, the fears, the brokenness. But God is always trying to shift man's perspective to be able to see what he wants to do in your life. He's always trying to get people to understand that before I formed you in the belly, I ordained you. I had a plan for you. I had a purpose for you. I had something I wanted to do in your life. And it wasn't just for you to be the, just to be the product of every wind that's blowing through your life, like some driftwood in a stream somewhere. And you're just in the stream of life and you've been batted around and circumstance has convinced you that you're no different than any other part of creation. And God's looking at your life and he's saying, I created you for more than that. You are not just the product of what people say about you. You're not just the product of the environment that you grew up in. But I have something for you that will make you stand up on your feet and square your shoulders and look at the world and say, world, here I come. It's time to get some things in order. It's time to get our house in order. I'm just telling you, you have more control than you realize. You have more authority than you realize. You have more power than you know. Praise God. Finite life would not be static, but moving and breathing and evolving and changing and growing. And like his God-man's power would not only be in his thinking, but his power would be in his speaking. The logos, the concept, the idea, the plan is not enough. Because if it doesn't have a speaker, the logos of God went forth. But the logos is the plan, it's the concept. And the scripture tells us that the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. You see, the letter in your life, some dead church where you read a handful of Bible verses and you don't make application, the letter all by itself, all it's doing, Brother Terrell, is condemning you. It's telling you you're not enough. It's telling you you don't stack up. It says the wages of sin is death, but the Spirit gives life. And what that's saying is when you take the letter, when you take the logos and you begin to articulate, that's what preaching is. Preaching is taking the concept of God, but it's not leaving it in some sterile and dormant place where all of the potential of God is locked up in it. It's like having a Bible but not having a relationship with God. But when you take the logos of God and you begin to preach the logos of God, it becomes a rhema word. And now you've mixed the letter with the spirit and something is going to happen in your life. I'm telling you, there are some people that God has made. He's made you promises and you haven't seen them come to pass yet. That's because you got to get the promise in your mouth. There are some things as a young man you can... Sister Tina, I've seen them memorize hundreds of Bible verses. And they have the logos locked up on the inside of them. They have the concept or the plan locked up. But let me tell you something. Until you begin to say what the logos has said, when you begin to say, yes, I heard Bishop Sutton preach that message, but no, that message is my message. When you begin to teach it and you begin to articulate it and you begin to claim it, now the letter is alive in your life. And then it begins to germinate and grow and it begins to do the work in your life that God set out for it to do. I'm telling you, somebody needs to get a word in your mouth. I know you've got it in your head. I know you've got it in your heart, but you've got to get it in your mouth. Let it be on your lips. Let it be in your speech. So when God shaped humanity, he's on the ground. I can see him. He's moving. He's moving the clay. He's twisting it. Two eyes. Why? Because I have two eyes. A nose, nostrils, a mouth. Why a mouth? Because I'm going to, by time and process and dispensation, I'm going to put a word inside of his mind. I'm going to put a letter in his mind. I'm going to tell him what can be. But unlike every other part of creation, this one is going to have something to say about it. Unlike every other part, yes, in the story of Jonah, everything in the story is working for God. Everything is doing the bidding of God. But there's a stubborn prophet who has the word of God on the inside of him, but who refuses to go to Nineveh and preach the word because the word of God in logos
is never going to become a change agent until somebody said, God, I'll take the word and I'll preach it to my family. I'll take the word and I'll teach it in a Bible study. What you feel in this place is an intersection of spirit and truth.
God said, I'm going to shape him. I'm going to mold him. And right here in this area of the clay, I'm going to stick my finger. Leave a hole. I know you have a brain. You're a smart guy. But there's a place in here that God put his finger. That no matter how smart you get, this hole will never be filled by any other knowledge other than the Logos. God touched you in that way. God shaped you in that way. He put a hole on the end. I'm telling you, you may be atheist and agnostic in this house. You may say, I don't believe in God, but you're drawn here. You got here. What brought you to this place? Because there's something down in the inside of your mind that you can fill it with all the knowledge of the world. You can eat from the tree of knowledge of good and of evil and all day long, but there's still something your brain knows and you don't know how it knows, but you're looking for God because you were created in his image and after his likeness. Your mind is reaching and searching for knowledge that is beyond you. That knowledge is the Logos. But he also stuck his finger on the inside of your heart. He said, they're going to walk around with a void. They're going to walk around with an emptiness. They're going to walk around searching. They're going to say things like, I just want to be loved. They're going to say things like, I just want to belong. But no matter how many clubs they join, no matter how many gangs they join, no matter how many family members say, I love you, they're still depressed and they're still searching and they're still looking because there's something down on the inside of man that when God made man, he said, I'm going to call it forth by my word, but I'm going to create some dynamics in their life that nothing else in this physical world can satisfy. There's a longing down on the inside of you and you say, man, I've been to all kinds of churches, but I haven't found it yet. And I've been in all kinds of family dynamics, but I haven't been satisfied yet. I'm here to tell you that's because God stuck his finger in there and left a void that nothing in your life will satisfy but the presence of God. So we say, well, we're broken, man. I feel void. I feel empty. I feel hollow. You don't even know how to articulate it. You don't even know how to express it. You try. People are posting all over social media trying to say it, trying to say what they feel. So what's the connection between the tongue and the void? The connection is that God put Adam and Eve in a perfect place and gave them a word. He said, I'm going to give you dominion. I'm going to give you authority. I'm going to give you power. And I'm going to have a relationship with you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to talk with you. I'm going to fellowship with you. I see in Adam the same dynamic I see in John, the Revelator. He's with God. He's walking in the cool of the garden. The cool, there's something about being in a garden in the cool part of the day where you feel something down on the inside of you and God's walking with them in fellowship and in coolness and in beauty. It's like that star-filled sky and God's telling them, listen, I'm going to do some crazy things in the earth and I'm going to do it with you. And so then God leaves for seasons and he allows man to ruminate on what God has told him, the knowledge that God has put into his mind and the emotion and the feeling that God has allowed to be infused in him. And then all of a sudden the deceiver comes into the garden and he begins to try to steal away the knowledge that God has put into the imagination and the heart. He started stealing, hath God said. God hath said becomes hath God said. And now humanity is broken and fallen and the world is spiraling out of control. So man is flawed and man is messed up. And now, where blessings are supposed to flow forth out of his mouth, because life and death is in the power of the tongue. But you can't have bitter water and sweet flowing out of the same vessel. So now man's mind is broken and it's filled with ungodliness. And now man's emotions are flawed and they're filled with all kinds of perversion. And as time expands, as time moves on, humanity continues the search for immorality and godlessness. But all of a sudden, a provision came from God that would allow something to come into the void again. Something to come into the emptiness. Emptiness again. We saw it in the prophets. We saw it in the Old Testament. We saw it with prophets like Ezekiel, who was facing a valley full of dry bones, and they were dismembered, and there was no flesh on them, and there was no sinew on them. But God puts his spirit on the man of God, and God tells Ezekiel, "Ezekiel, I could change the nation of Israel, but I'm not going to do it, because all the way back at the beginning in the plan of God, I created a human vessel that was going to interact with me and was going to participate with me, and that was going to be a causal force in the earth. Ezekiel, if these bones are going to come together, it's not just going to be the creative work of God, but you're going to have to participate. I'm just here to tell you, if your family's going to be any different than your family's always been, you're going to have to participate. If your home environment is going to be any different than it's ever been, generation after generation after generation, God's not going to do the work all by himself, Brother Kedrick, but you're going to have to co-create with him. You're going to have to allow something to be infused down into your person that changes the way you think about what can be. I know it's broken, but it doesn't have to stay broken. I know it's messed up, but it doesn't have to stay messed up. I know it's flawed and it's less than what it can be, but you can affect change. You can begin a process today that will transform your world. So season after season after season for the people of God in the Old Testament, God would anoint a man. God would anoint a woman like Deborah, and they would be the causal force, standing proxy for God in their world. Changing the trajectory of a family or a nation. The challenge is, we live in a fallen world. And when we wake up in the morning, we see the chaos, like those people in Ukraine that wake up and see what they've built, they've given their lives to, broken. And all they can see is the destruction. All they can see is the bloodshed and the war and the chaos. And it feels overwhelming. Where do you start picking up the pieces? Where do you start trying to figure out what has to be completely dismantled and what can stay but is in need of great repair? And a lot of times, the only thoughts you can think and the only emotion that you can feel is the feeling of loss and the thoughts of despair. But there was a moment in history when God looked at the human narrative and God looked at the human story and saw the brokenness and saw the episodic success and then the return back into the cycle of despondency and despair. And he said, "I looked for a man. I looked for someone to stand in the gap. I looked for someone to make up the hedge, and I could not find anybody." And so the Bible tells us that God condescended to men of low estate, and that the God of creation, the one who stooped down at the beginning and created man, who knew ideally what could be, that God came down to the earth and he robed himself in flesh and he walked among us and he walked through his people. He walked among his people. And as he encountered broken people, he started telling them the kingdom of God has come. The way had already been prepared by John the Baptist. But Jesus started telling them something better is on the way. There's a new
reality coming. There's a new kingdom coming. There's a kingdom that's going to bring peace and joy and righteousness to the earth. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees rejected him, and they reviled him, and they spat upon him, and they pressed a crown of thorns in his head, and they took a cat of nine tails, and they began to beat his body. But the whole time, there was something down on the inside of that man that understood change is coming. He knew that I'm not just in this world, just being blown about by every wind of doctrine, but I understand something. There is a mind of God that if a man or woman can capture it and pull it down, something's going to begin to change. When I consider the heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit with him? You've made him a little lower than the angels, and you've crowned him with glory and with honor, and you put him over all the works of your fingers. Behold, you have put all things under his feet. And I'm just here to tell you today, that man, Christ Jesus, he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. But that's not the end of the story. He said, ye, come on, look at your neighbor and say, that's you, that's me. He said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Come on, he said, go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father that you're gonna receive power. You're gonna receive anointing. You're gonna receive authority to be the causal force in your world. When you receive my spirit, whatever you bind on earth, it's going to be bound in heaven. When you receive my spirit, whatever you loose in the earth is going to be loosed in heaven. You know what we came to do today? We came to bind some things on earth so that some things can happen in the heaven. They went to Jerusalem. They tarried. They waited. They were in one mind and in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, just like a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. The Spirit of God came and dwelt in that upper room. But it didn't just settle on the neighbor, but it settled on each of them. And they were all, everybody say all. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues, because the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. They didn't even know what they were saying. They didn't even know what they were prophesying. But Peter stood up with the 11 and said, these are not drunk like ye suppose, seeing it's just the third hour of the day. But this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. What are they going to say? They're going to begin to speak the word of God in a language they've never spoken before. They're going to begin to prophesy some things they didn't even know were possible. Because it's not enough to know by the Logos alone. You have to become a participant with God, a co-creator, if you would. There are some things you don't even know you can be yet, but that's because you haven't received the Holy Ghost. There are some things that God wants to do in your family, and you say, I don't even know what those things are. It's okay. That's because God hasn't taken control of your body yet. Signified by your tongue. There's a creative word for your life. There's a word for your life. There's a prophecy for your life. And I can prophesy to you today and tell you that God wants to do good things in your life. And I can prophesy to you today and tell you God wants to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. I can prophesy to you today and tell you that you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. But let me tell you something. You're never going to see it happen in your life until you learn to speak for yourself. I've got a word for my life, but God's got a word for your life. And until you begin to speak, it's never going to manifest. Brother Tenarius, God's got a new day. God's got a new future for somebody here. Is there a testimony that somebody say, before God found me, I was not what I am today, but something got a hold of my life?
See, all of the other creation got a word from God. Fish got a word. Come forth. The whale's got a word. Come forth. Humanity got a word. I know what you can be. But you're going to play along. If you never get it in your mouth, it's never going to happen. An apostolic people walking around speaking doubt. It's not the will of God. You're creating. Telling kids, well, you're a failure. You're a knucklehead. You ought to cut your tongue out. If you can't prophesy better than that, just cut it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your eyes looking in a direction that's not consistent with the word of God, if you're distracted, pluck it out, baby. It's better to go to heaven. If your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. What that means is if you can get your whole person synthesized with the Logos in your life and say, God, listen, I don't know how it's going to happen. I'm afraid. It's bigger than I am, but I am going to speak what you said concerning my life. I'm going to say what God says. And let me tell you, so this is how it works in prayer. You get to the point in prayer where you say everything you know to pray. God's good. God's faithful. God's going to make a way. God's going to make provision. God's going to do it. And then you say, God, I said everything I know to do that's consistent with your word. And Paul said, when you prayed everything you know to pray, in your understanding, kick back your head and start talking in tongues. You say, I don't know how my babies are going to come back to church. God's faithful. Raise them up in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. But at some point, you look up at heaven and you just have a Holy Ghost fit, and you say, God, I'm gonna speak the things I don't even know. As and you just begin to prophesy. Just begin to prophesy. You have to get this so deep in your spirit to where nothing is going to separate me from the love of God. No peril, no famine, no loss. No, this is what Job said. He said, listen, I'm feeling the pain and I'm scraping my boils. He said, but I've got some things down on the inside of me that God has already told me. And he said, I don't know what else to say, but what I already know, and that is this. He said, though the skin worms eat my flesh, in my flesh, I'm gonna see God for myself and not another. What he was saying is, I don't know how God's gonna do it, but I'm gonna speak with the word. You are a co-creator with God. And it's a choice. It's a choice. And everything you're saying is being written down in a book. God's taking copious notes. I don't believe writing it down. I don't see how that can happen, writing it down. I feel so depressed, writing it down. I don't know if God loves me, writing it down. I'm not giving God that kind of ammunition. But I know you own the cattle on a thousand hills. I don't know how it's going to happen. But God will provide. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So even though it looks bad, I'm going to prophesy to my problem. I'm going to prophesy to my trouble. I'm going to prophesy to my backslidden loved one. I'm going to speak faith. I'm going to speak the word. And when I run out of stuff to say, I'm going to talk in tongue. Come on, somebody do that right now. Somebody let the Holy Ghost prophesy right now. Come on, lift your hands and begin to prophesy. Somebody lift your hands and begin to prophesy. Come on, if you want to step out of your pew and begin to march around and make a declaration, God is going to be as you have said. Your logos is my rhema. Come on, take somebody by the hand and step out. If you want to come down in the front, begin to prophesy. Come on, speak faith over your life. Speak the word of God over your life right now. I'm going to be what he's called me to be. My family's moving up. My finances are about to shift. My co-workers are coming to God. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think, according to the power, according to the power, according to the power that's working in you right now. It's working in you right now. Come on, lay hands on somebody and begin to speak faith. Lay hands on somebody and begin to prophesy. That mountain's coming down. That ocean is about to be parted. Come on, find somebody to pray with right now. Find somebody to share your faith with. Find somebody to link up with. Come on, we're about to have revival. We're about to see a breakthrough. We're going to receive a healing. God's going to do the work. God's going to do the work. God's going to do the work. Come on, stretch out your faith right now. Stretch out your faith right now. Stretch out that withered hand. Stretch out that withered hand. Stretch out that handicap, that broken thing. Stretch it out. Stretch it out. Stretch it out. It's a new season. It's a new day. It's a new harvest. God's gonna do the work. God's gonna do the work. But I'm gonna give him a mouth to speak. That's it. God is my portion. God is my portion.
on, I feel faith rising right now. I feel faith rising right now. Let it be according to thy word, O God. Let it be according to thy word, O God. Come on, that's it. Find somebody to link up with all over the house. Let those around you know what you need God to do right now. Speak faith. Speak life.
The word is nigh you. It's even in your lips. It's in you. Speak it out.
You are the Lord of the grave. We worship you. We worship you. Lord of the breakthrough. Lord of the breakthrough. Lord of the breakthrough.
Lord of the breakthrough.
You are the Lord.
You are the Lord of the grave.
Lord, we worship you.
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 We give it all up.
We worship you.
We worship you.
We worship you.
Oh yeah.
We worship you.
We worship you.
We worship you.
We give you praise.
We worship you. We worship you.
Oh yeah.
We worship you.
We give you thanks.
We worship you.
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 Hallelujah.
We worship you.
We worship you.
Lord of the breakthrough.
Lord of the breakthrough.
You're the Lord of the breakthrough.
Lord of the breakthrough.
You are the Lord.
You are the Lord of the breakthrough.
And we worship you.
We worship you.
We give you praise.
We worship you.
You're the Lord of the breakthrough.
Lord of the breakthrough.
He's the Lord of the breakthrough.
Lord of the breakthrough.
You're the Lord of the breakthrough.
Lord of the breakthrough.
You're the Lord of the breakthrough.
Lord of the breakthrough.
You are the Lord.
You are the Lord of the breakthrough.
And we worship
you.
Lord, we worship you.
We worship you.
You're the Lord of the breakthrough.
Lord of the breakthrough.
You are the Lord.
God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. I believe you, God. I trust you, God.
We worship you. We worship you. Lord, we worship you. We give it all. We worship you. We worship you.
Lord of the breakthrough.
Lord of the breakthrough.
You're the Lord of the breakthrough.
Lord of the breakthrough.
You are the Lord.
You are the Lord of the breakthrough.
And we worship you.
We worship you.
God, we worship you. Breakthrough,
Lord of the breakthrough,
Lord, Lord of the breakthrough,
Lord of the breakthrough,
you are the Lord,
you are the Lord of the breakthrough,
and we worship you,
we worship you,
we worship you,
we worship you,
Lord of the breakthrough,
Lord of the breakthrough,
Lord of the breakthrough,
Lord of the breakthrough,
you are the Lord,
you are the Lord of the breakthrough,
and we worship you,
we worship you.
Lord of the breakthrough,
Lord of the breakthrough.
Come on, look at somebody next to you and tell them it's about to change. Tell them it's about to shift. You feel that? That's prophecy. Come on, look at him and tell him God's about to bless your life. God's about to open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings on your life that you're not even able to contain. You're about to walk into the greatest season of revival that you've ever walked through in your life. God has called you to be the head at home, the head at work, the head at school. Come on, look at somebody and tell them you're not a victim. You're not a victim of your circumstance. You have authority and you have power and you have dominion. Praise God. Praise God. One more time, let's clap our hands and give God a shout of praise. You're thankful for his word. Praise God. Praise God. Greet somebody in the name of Jesus. We're going to reconvene tonight at 6 o'clock for a time of anointed prayer and for an apostolic service at 6:30. Bring a guest to the house of God. God bless you in Jesus' name.